Hallelujah. You know, I heard from another pastor, when you say hallelujah, there requires a response. Thank you for that response. Also, I want to thank the musicians, as they're faithful to the Lord to present the word. And there truly is power in the blood. And that's where it all starts. And so this morning, I just want to simply say that that God loves you. He loves every one of us. And He's called every one of us. He's called our neighbors. He's called our community. He's calling anyone to repent and follow Him. And as I prepared this message, I began praying actually 3 weeks ago about this message, and the Holy Spirit has been moving ever since. And He's reminded me after the message that day that I told Linda, I said, I feel a little disconnected. And I started to dwell on that like we all do many times when we're alone. And the Holy Spirit come upon me and said, it's all good. I'm in control. This was not just a message. This was me talking. And everyone hears what we say differently. I found out even when I speak to my wife, she hears different things than what I'm saying. Now, maybe you don't do that, but... And it works the other way, too. And so I asked the Lord to give me a direction. And this is what He gave me, as close as I can come to it and keep an order to it. And He finished that message up this morning. And so I want to share a little bit of a simple testimony, because everyone here has a testimony. And I've preached a number of sermons, and if that's the only thing you've ever heard, you're in trouble. Even if I'm preaching and I get that message all week long, if that's all I get, I'm in trouble. How do I know that? I'm going to back up a little bit to back in 1971. Any of you been here? Were any of you there in 1971? Yeah, some of you were. I'm sure your path was different than mine, but I'm going to read something to you because it reminded me of that this very morning. Dear friend, I recently returned from London, England, where I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with a fantastic crowd in Excel, London during the God Loves You tour in United Kingdom. While I was in London, prominent British broadcaster Piers Morgan invited me on his television show, Uncensored. In our conversation, he said, times are changing. Have any of you ever heard that? Have any of you ever used that term? Times are changing. People are changing. And I, too, should reconsider my stance on important social issues and biblical issues. Have any of you ever heard that on television? You need to catch up with the times. You need to understand things are changing. And here's what Franklin said. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He goes on to say, a member of our team met a woman named Rita working at a local hotel. She invited Rita to the event and said everyone needs to hear that God loves them. I hope you will come. Rita showed up that night, and when I shared how you could have a personal relationship with the Lord, she walked to the front to commit her life to Jesus Christ, and the message from God's Word and a simple invitation had changed her life. What does that have to do with 1971? In 1971, I walked out of work and I crawled into my car and I turned on the radio. And all I heard was the last few minutes of a Billy Graham invitation. The Holy Spirit come upon me in that whole week. I spent just waiting for that next message. I didn't hear the first one, but I'd heard the message before. And there's some of you who may have heard the message before. Maybe you know the message. Maybe you understand it. But we're all at different places in our lives. And in that very moment, when I heard that invitation, my life changed. Now, I went through some things that when I think about them now, I laugh. But that's what happened. And because of that day and what the Holy Spirit did, I'm standing here before you as one of the most unworthy servants of God that I know. It's what He did that changed everything, not what I did. It's not what you did. It's what He did. And so when I come into this congregation today with these words, I'm reminded of where it all started. It didn't start in 1971. It took me clear back to Jeremiah 16:6, and it said, stand at the crossroads. Look for the old path. And that doesn't mean to go back there and do it the way they did it. It's the path that God created for all of us to follow that leads to the cross and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the love of God. And the interesting thing about that, if you read that passage, the Israelites said, I will not do it. And how many times by our actions do we say the same words? Because He's called us to share the message of the gospel. He's called us to speak to others our own testimony. Now let me give you just a little bit of a picture how that works. A week ago, the Holy Spirit came up on this place and I was in one of the most wonderful worship services I've ever been in. Amen. And it's continued all week long. The outpouring of the Spirit here as I walked around this sanctuary this morning and was praying in each one of these chairs, and I'm sitting there and I can actually sense a presence of the Holy Spirit that I haven't felt in quite some time. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But last week, I heard one of our young men stand up and he talked about his job and where he went in there, and there was a certain period of time where it seemed as though everyone was saying things that were completely negative. And it reminded me of the times when I get like that. I say things I shouldn't say. They're negative. But then he chose, and I want to emphasize that word, chose. He chose to go back to work with a good attitude. And I worked in food service, and I practiced that at times because you don't really feel like doing it. So that change of attitude, that change that encourages someone, no matter how you feel, And when someone else starts feeling better, if I've encouraged them, I feel better. Now, to fast forward, that young man, I imagine, is around 18 years old, and there's young folks in here. I left here, and I visited my Aunt Marg in a nursing home over in Bucyrus. She's 95 years old. 95. That woman is, I don't really like to talk to her because she kind of puts me to shame. She's got a mind that works. I'm kind of slow, but she's not. But I noticed the last couple times when I visited her, she was down, and the same story came up each time. And some of you here are going through different things in your life. And if you're not going through them, you're going to. There's things that happen. And what I had heard was my Aunt Marg had lost a close friend there at the nursing home that she could talk with. So she was feeling lonely. And I didn't recognize that the first couple times I was in there. And so I said, well, Marg, it seems as though you have lost this friend, but you're dwelling on that now. And where's your testimony? Because she is always free giving out her testimony, very freely, very faithful. And I said, let me tell you a little story. I said, there was a young man at our church last week, and he was talking about how he went into work and seemed like everyone had a bad attitude. So he chose to go in with a good attitude. And I can't even begin to tell you. It was like somebody just, like I had turned on a huge floodlight. Her countenance changed to me. That's it. She said, that's it. I need to talk to other people. Whoa. That's not a revelation, folks, but we can get ourselves down to the point of where we forget what our purpose is. God has called us to glorify Him. Hallelujah. What does that have to do with Paul's defense of false prophets, of false apostles? Well, our message as it goes out, when we walk around, is one of the, my grandfather used to say this, why is your dauber down so low? Well, what in the world is a dauber? But I knew what he was talking about. And he would try to encourage me. And so when we look at what Paul has been preaching, what he's been teaching, when God used him to write the book of Romans, and he introduces us to Christ and the wisdom and the power of God, the power is in the blood. And so in Romans 1:16 and 17 it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Thank God for that day in 1971 when someone invited me to personally commit my life to Christ. It's to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God, in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. There is not a person in my lifetime that I know of who demonstrated to me personally and witnessed to me personally that's more faithful than my Aunt Marg. And she would be the first one to tell you that the only righteousness that is in her is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you with this. Believe God's word. Do you believe God's word? Yes. Then think upon God's word. Do you think upon God's word? Then act upon God's word. Do you act upon God's word? Ah. And then become God's servant. Now, so far, I've covered a couple of things here, and I know before the day's over, I'm going to fall short. Why do I know that? Because the Word of God says. But He also says to come. To come to Him. Anyone who's heavy laden. How's that go? Come on. Come on. You can say it louder. Yes. We know the Word. So let's act upon it. Now, how does this, again, move us toward defending Paul's defense against false apostles? Well, in 1 Corinthians 1:18, when he starts to write to the Corinthians this letter, it says, "For the word or the message of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Do you believe that? Do you think about it? Do you act upon it? We have to ask ourselves these questions. Then when we move fast forward to 2 Corinthians, the first seven verses, chapters are about God, the God of all comfort. Those are things to think about. Those are things to act upon. Excuse me. And when we act upon them, it's as simple as going and visiting my aunt and just sharing with her. It's the same as going and a number of you I've sat down, a group of the men had breakfast together Friday morning. I heard about a prayer meeting with the ladies, what was it, Thursday? What a wonderful time, a prayer. That's what I heard. And that message moves out. And so there's this ministry of the gospel in 2 Corinthians 4:1. Having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. That's our call. That does not change. And as the Holy Spirit hovers over this place, as the Holy Spirit comes down upon us, as the Holy Spirit unctions us to go, and as Linda said to me this morning, there's going to be an event that's coming up. We need to invite someone. We need to be more diligent in that. It's always out there in front of us, and there's always going to be things to distract us and take our time and our attention away from what God has called us to do. And many of the younger ones especially are working every day. But the attitude with which we go to work, the attitude that our neighbor sees, we need to be conscious of that. And so, if we look at 2 Corinthians 7:1, and we had that a few weeks ago, since we have these promises, now you can read that again and find out what those promises are, but the promises, first of all and foremost, is God loves you, and He loves your neighbor, and He wants to share that. And I know that when I was younger and involved with a lot of folks and everyone loves to hear that someone loves them, that care about them. And that's what I discovered with my Aunt Marg last week. She said, "Thank you." And she said, "You know, you need to talk to so-and-so." Think about that. And so that leads us to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. And also would remind us all that in 2 Peter 3:14 and 50, Peter, anyone here know Peter? You've heard of him. He said that these things that Paul says are hard to understand. Now, I don't know about anyone here, but I know I still struggle sometimes. I'll be reading a passage of Scripture. I don't understand that. How could that be? But as we look at this passage of Scripture, Paul says, "I wish you would bear with me a little foolishness. Do bear with me." For I feel a divine jealousy for you since I betrothed you or promised you to your one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Now, this isn't a doctrine class here. This isn't a theology class, but it's a day-to-day, get-out-in-the-trenches class. Walk with Jesus class. It's what we do and what we say and how we act and what our attitude is when we're out there in the everyday world. And what Paul is doing is he's been preaching this and teaching this, and you can go all the way through 1 Corinthians, and now we're clear up to chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. And as I mentioned, I believe a few weeks ago, what if you received a letter that it took you an hour to read? You'd read it. You'd get through there. And if you didn't understand something, you would read it again. And if they said something in that letter you liked, you'd read it again. Think about it. But so Paul is concerned about these folks because he's been giving them the message of the gospel. And they've responded to that. But there are those who are out there to tell them that there is another way than through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Think about that. And a matter of fact, I find this very interesting because I couldn't quite understand why I had missed this before. And I hadn't really missed it. I just had not picked it up in the way that it says it, and that is in verse 3. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And I thought, Paul went all the way back to the garden? Yes, that's where this all started. Disobedience. I remember one time, I've told this story before, probably here even, but my little boy, and I didn't teach him this. He was a good little boy like all your little boys and girls. But he had a rule that his mother laid down to him, and when she baked fresh cookies, the only way they could have cookies is when she gave them to him. So she told him, I'm giving you one cookie and now you got to wait. Till after dinner or whatever. You all know the drill. So anyhow, I'm walking into the kitchen, and first thing I see is we got a cabinet there that's got four drawers on it. And I noticed the bottom drawer was all the way out, and the next drawer, and the next drawer, and the next drawer. And my little boy had stair-stepped up to that cookie jar, and then he come back down, and I come around the corner. How did those get there? That's exactly what he said. Boy, I had to go in the other room because I couldn't let him see me laugh. And I was disappointed that he could think faster than me. In any case, we don't have to learn to be deceived, to be a deceiver. And so Paul is presenting us with a warning here. And we need to be reminded that as believers, we belong to Christ and we're to walk in His righteousness. His righteousness. And so it goes on then, for if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, and here we have, you need to change. Now, how many of you know Piers Morgan? Have heard him? I've heard him on the five. He's a pretty good talker. I've heard preachers. I had a preacher friend. We were talking about original sin. Does anyone here know what original sin is? We're back at the garden. He said, you don't really believe that stuff, do you? That's where knowing the Word of God becomes important. Yes, I do. That's God's Word. We don't really have to argue that. We simply have to tell. If someone wants to say that, I tell them, that's what I believe. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you're going to have to deal with that. Indeed, I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles. And I want to remind us again here today. As a young man, I said I believed in Jesus, but I was following everything but Jesus. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be in the in crowd. I wanted to be listen to the music we wanted to listen to. And I believe as that can ride over into all areas of our lives, no matter what age. We want to be accepted. And that's good. Let's be accepted. I praise God every day when I'm in my devotionals and praying for you folks here that you've accepted me and Linda. It's a privilege to be a part of a group of people who love Christ, love God, and are willing to share. And I could go on and on about that, but we're speaking of Paul and what he's saying. Even if I am an unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way, we have made this plain to you and in all things. And without going into any deeper than that, if you know the truth, which is the gospel message, which is Christ died for us, he was buried, and he was resurrected, and we live in the resurrection according to Scripture. That's what it says. And that doesn't take a theologian to explain that. That's what it says. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel to you free of charge? What does that mean? I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. I asked Linda this morning, I said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to use that word robbed or not. I said, there may be somebody in there that's never read the scripture. They're going to think it's Christians or a bunch of robbers. You see how easy it could be to misinterpret scripture, though, if it's out of context? That's the part that we as believers need to understand is even if we do hear something from someone, we don't have to get into that, well, you guys are a bunch of robbers. No, we go back to the scriptures. It's according to scriptures. It's according to God's word. God's word. And then when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be silenced in the region of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you. God knows I do. Has anyone in here ever heard something that came back to you through someone who was telling you that someone else said? Well, I want to tell you something. I've been in that situation as a pastor. And this is all I'm going to tell you about it. But I did not recognize the story. I said, wait a minute. I said, that is not what I said, but that's what so-and-so said. I wasn't at that service, but that's what they said. You said. Oh, okay. So let me get the scriptures out where that came from. So I said, now you read the scriptures. What does that say? They knew exactly what it said. Oh, is that what you said? Yeah, that's what I said. Again, I say that simply to say this. Don't believe everything you hear. Test it. That's what the Word of God says. The scriptures say, test. And if somebody's going to say something to me about one of my brothers or sisters in Christ, you better believe I'm going to find out what the truth is. And so things were being said about the Apostle Paul, and he had to defend himself. Now next week, I'm not sure who's preaching, but they're going to be talking about all the things that Paul went through to declare the scriptures, the truth of God's word. And I want to tell you something. I've heard people say, I'd like to be like Paul. No, you don't. No, you don't. So there's a lot to think about here. And so why? Because I do not love you. God knows I do. Remember that. God knows. It's just like my little boy. I knew what he was doing. I didn't really care what he was doing. I didn't want him to get in trouble. I wanted him to follow the rules. And I had to figure out how to emphasize this without being too harsh. And, you know, it would have been easy. The easy way out would have been, hey, you got an extra cookie there? They were good cookies. But as a father, I had to set an example. And so it goes on then. And it says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. You know, one time Linda and I were visiting out in Kansas City, and I went to this big store. What was that? Where did we go? That fishing store? Anyhow, they have this salesman in there, and the next thing you know, he's got me coming to a meeting. A free lunch. Boy, I'm telling you, those guys are good. They can make you believe things that you don't even know you didn't believe. And in any case, we've all been there. And so how do we know what is the truth? By being in the truth, the Word of God, the Scriptures. And it's an ongoing journey. Look for the old path. If you go back far enough to the garden, you know how easy it is to be deceived. That's why it's so important for us to share in communion often, so that we can be reminded of who we're serving, what the truth is. And even most important, let us remember, and this is coming in whoever's preaching in chapter 12, Jesus said to me, that's Paul speaking, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Who's the grace sufficient for? You. His grace is sufficient. It's what he did that makes the difference. For my power, there's that word power again. How is God's power demonstrated? In my weakness. I admit that I am weak. I admit that I have sinned. I can say daily, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the mercy that you have shown me, forgive me, that I might delight in your will and rejoice in your way, in the glory of your name. And so this moves on then in verse 10. It says, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong. How many in here really understand what that says? Yeah, we know what it says. Do we practice it? Are we taking God's word out into the community? And I know we are. Keep doing it. It's not about anything other than sharing our lives with others. And so I'll close with this. And I pray that as we go into our circle groups this morning that we can discuss these things. And we can choose. This is an invitation. Yield yourself to God to be used by Him to bring this good news to others, both through your example and through your word. Now, I pray that we can take what He's given us and go clear back to the first song I heard this morning. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. The Word of God says that. Do we believe it? Do we act upon it? Do we think about it? And do we become His servants by doing it? Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. So at this time, I would just like to say that, again, there will be a circle group meeting in the back there, and there's another group that meets here in the sanctuary, and I believe there's one that meets out here in the narthex. Is that correct? And then upstairs, they'll guide you. So, and there's the young people, I believe. So, having said that, I pray that the Holy Spirit continues to move through each one of us this week, and that the work of the Lord is carried out into our homes and our communities. To God be the glory. If you'd all stand that can, I'll give the benediction. Surely it is God who saves us. We will trust in Him and not be afraid, for the Lord is our stronghold and my sure defense, and He will be our Savior. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning and is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.